We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have 10 days left in the baseball season. We're here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I've got a special Sunday night guest all coming up next. Happy Sunday night, everybody. We got a little bit of baseball season left. I am Scott Jenstead, special guest this week. I'll introduce him in 1 second, but we're on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by So Rare. Appreciate everybody joining in. If you listen to us on the audio version, if you happen to be watching the video, chime in, say hi. If you have any questions or comments, we always love hearing those and taking those during the show. Like I said, I'm Scott Jenstead. No Jeff Erickson tonight. Jeff is out of town, so I have a special guest filling in this week. If you play any NFBC leagues, you probably know him because you probably looked up at him in your leaderboard or on the stats or the standings. Always doing really one of the better NFBC players around. One of the nicer guys around too. I always say one of my favorite people in the industry, but kind of one of my favorite people. So I always ask him to the podcast, and Jeff's not here. Usually he turns me down, so it's a special occasion that joined us. Brian Slack, how are you? Thanks for joining tonight.
I am great, Scott. Thank you for the kind words. Very heartwarming, especially the personal words. The NFBC stuff is a little bit overblown, but I'll take it.
I don't know. You and your partner, Nick Sackett, who I also know well, are pretty darn good NFBC players. So you may downplay that, but you guys are consistently really, really good. How's your season going this year? Let's just jump right in. You guys have like a top 20-ish team in the main event at some point, right? You still up there?
Yeah, that was probably 2 days ago, and now it's in the mid-30s. So
it slides fast this time of year. It's rough.
Yeah.
Winning that league or no?
Nope. Currently in second in that league. We have another league that we are currently leading over the hard charging Casey Cha, who outbid us on. I didn't realize I would be this upset about being outbid on Jared Kelenic, but here we are. But so he's charging pretty hard, and then a couple of other leagues that are close to, I think, cashing, and so in the thick of it.
Beautiful. Well, I appreciate you joining. I'm looking forward to chatting a bunch of baseball. Obviously, you have your partnership with Nick, and I'm more than happy to talk about baseball because I do not want to talk about football right now. So let's jump into baseball because I'm disgusted by the NFL at the moment. So it's a good time to jump into some baseball. As a 49ers fan, tonight was rough. But looking at week 26, it's a weird baseball season right now. There's one division that has a remotely interesting race right now. The Braves and the Mets are separated by like a game and a half, both playing really good baseball right now. The Guardians have pretty much buried that division. So how did you guys strategize in terms of fantasy leagues? And, you know, obviously I know you guys play a lot of NFBC, but anybody in home leagues, that sort of thing, we got 10 days left. Are you like super hyped looking for teams that like are still playing guys? Are you looking for people that are playing their young guys? How do you kind of deal with these last 10 days? Because I feel like they're a different monster than any other stretch of the whole season.
Yeah, it's tough. Because we're trying to kind of balance. We were low on dollars, but I wouldn't say we were all that much lower than a lot of the other teams.
Right.
So, trying to balance like what we're comfortable going down to, trying to kind of, I wrote out, what we had like next week in terms of starters, and kind of looking at what the staffs might look like on that short week. So trying to kind of say like, hey, maybe we'll have 6 or 7, starters or guys we can throw. And then we need to at least hold a little bit back. And so trying to kind of find that balance, was a focus for sure. But then, it's extremely cutthroat, and it's you're just looking at who are the matchups. It's not even really like who's the better player at this point. It's like who has the better matchups for the next 7 days. And that's really it. And sometimes even just who has the better first half of the week.
Did you think about making any bids for with the final half week in mind, or were you just trying to max out this week? Like, how much did you kind of take it? It was weird. It's a weird season because we have that final, the way the, you know, the lockout works and all that, we have a final half week where we're only going to get, you know, each team plays three games. I mean, you know, that's only three starters. So 60% of the starters go, 40% of starters aren't even making a start that week. So were you guys hyper-focused on that last week, or you just kind of max out this week and then figure out that weird half week and figuring that a lot of guys aren't going to start that week anyway, even they're lined up right now?
Yeah, a little bit more of the latter, which was like Domingo Germán was a guy that I liked, that we liked, and in hopes of really more next week, you know, and, you know, to a certain extent, Bryce Elder, like kind of a couple of the starters that you're like, you have a pretty good feeling that they will get it. And if you could get those guys for a dollar this week, I'm sure everybody, there were only a handful of them. So I'm sure everybody was looking at those same guys this week already, but that was really in terms of kind of forecasting, you know, farther ahead. And then, you know, with Kelenic, it was like, you know, you saw that the Mariners had four games next week, you know, but outside of that, it wasn't too much just because it's changes so much that you want to say that even the guys you're bidding on this week that have six games, you know, a lot of these times will be just like four and you'll have to throw it anyway.
Yeah. That's a really good call on Kelenic. I did notice that the final half week of the season, them and the Tigers play a doubleheader, so they have a four game week. It's the only team, I believe it's the only two teams with four games that week. So that's a good point right there. Are you focusing on just starters? Are you guys thinking about like middle relievers that last half week? Because obviously a middle reliever, you know, could throw at any point. Are you thinking of adding a couple relievers this week for the last 10 days, or were you more focused on starters?
To the extent we were focused, it wasn't on starters. The relievers, I think we could kind of, you know, if there were saves guys, and kind of where we are in saves is usually either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't too much of a, I don't think we picked up a single reliever this week. It was just because a lot of these guys, I think that if you just want like a good, highly skilled reliever, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find some of those next week. For a dollar.
That's a fair point. As long as you got a couple bucks out, you could probably find somebody that can, you know, throw it in. Even at that point, three games going to throw you an inning or two. You're really just hoping to luck into a win or a save at that point. But it's going to be it'll be interesting bids next week. So a lot of people are out of money. There's only three games. Anybody who remotely is close to being started will be bid on next week. It's going to be a bloodbath in Fab next week.
Yep, for sure.
This week we have four teams with seven games. We have the Phillies, the Nationals, the Red Sox, and the Orioles with seven games. And then we have three teams with five games too. It's a kind of a crappy week to have five games. You're hoping to get production out of some of these guys. But the Diamondbacks, disappointing here. I have some Corbin Carroll and some Jake McCarthy. The Cardinals play five, and the Mets play five too. So that's obviously a lot of players on their roster on that team. So those are tough ones, knowing that the first half of the week, and if you have a, you know, kind of a bi-weekly league, those guys have two games. So those are pretty much, unless you're, you know, Pete Alonso or Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt, those are pretty much sits this half week.
Yeah. We're on team McCarthy with you. So that was going to be a little bit tough, especially because it looks like it's going to be Verlander and McCullers. So probably sitting it.
Not only two games, but two studs. That's pretty tough right there. Were there any offensive schedules you guys were finding yourself focused on? Are there any teams you're like, I need to attack this team. I need to really find guys on this team for this week. You know, I was looking at Philly, three against Chicago, four against Washington. It was a really nice setup. A lot of Phillies are already rostered, but were there any offensive, you know, schedules you guys were really like, we need to get this one this week for this second to last week?
Yeah, there was some Red Sox, you know, Tristan Casas was out there in a few leagues. And then the Nationals, I think we'll kind of get to a couple of the guys I picked up this week. They've got three, and it, you know, you see it and it's the Braves to start the week. And you're like, well, that's not good. But it actually looks like it might be Bryce Elder. According to the RotoWire grid, it might be Kyle Muller on Tuesday and then Odorizzi on Wednesday. And so that's not the worst
They pretty much schedule it. So they play the Braves at the end. They play the Braves on the weekend. So they push free to the Braves series. Morton and Kyle Wright are pitching the Braves series. So it's a good point. All the good Braves pitchers are not pitching the first half of the week. So the Nats, hopefully we get some Joey Meneses in there. But the Nats are lined up at least pretty well for the first half week.
I missed the Joey Meneses train, but it seems to be going along.
It's been a fun train. Every time I look up, I'm like, oh, I had no hits today. I'm like, oh, let's click on the Washington box score. Oh, there's a home run. So that'll work.
He's a monster.
He's been nice, hit middle of the lineup. It's those little finds that are always the sweetest ones, but
yeah. And then just to tie that all together, Washington then has four games on the weekend, including that. So they're at Philly. I'm sorry. They're home against Philly. And one of those is a Syndergaard game. So trying to get a little steal here and there.
Did you just call it? What'd you call it?
A Syndergaard game. That's what I call it. Yeah, whenever we're in need of steals.
So. I thought you were putting it together because he was piggybacking this week. I thought you were going Wheeler Syndergaard, like portmanteau on us right there.
Oh, no, no. I wish.
Syndergaard games you gotta love, especially if anybody has any sort of stolen base upside, because he's obviously brutal there. I feel like we had those John Birdie Syndergaard games. They never really worked out fully as well as we wanted it to.
Yeah.
He sat one of them, and the other one he didn't do much. But I like two of the teams in the AL West this week, too. I like Seattle this week, and I like the Angels. They both have the same schedule, essentially just flip-flopped. They get three against Texas, three against Oakland. Obviously, no pitchers there that anybody is remotely worried about facing. I guess John Gray and Martin Perez are kind of okay. But everybody on the A's, you want to face those pitchers, whether it be Caprelli and Martinez and Irvin or Waldichuk and Sears. On the weekend, Sears got smoked again today. Anytime you get some A's matchups right now, it's a good thing to be. And like you said earlier, matchups are kind of the key here. That's really all we're looking for is matchups. And it's only 9 days left, or 9 games left. Most teams, except for a couple, have 10. But it's all matchup based right now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The Mariners. You said the Mariners and the Angels, right? Yeah, the Mariners.
Yeah.
Yet another reason to bring it back to Kelnick. But you know, one guy that we did get for $2 was Eugenio Suarez. Hopeful that he will be back. There were like some optimistic quotes from him and the manager that he might be back there Tuesday. So hoping to catch a little luck there.
So he was taking some light swings in the cage midweek. So yeah, maybe.
Downplay this, Scott. Do not do this to me right now.
The key is they need him back. Julio Rodriguez obviously went on the IL, and that's a big loss for them. And you know, Suarez is, you know, he's kind of had a very Suarez year. It's, you know, you look up, he's hit 235, but 31 home runs in this, you know, dead ball season. That's been 3184 out of him has been a really nice play considering where he went, or if you picked him up for free and fab.
Right. I had him on zero teams, but needed RBIs in this particular spot. And like I said, some of the comments were encouraging. So, Dylan Moore was a guy that we kind of looked at like a little bit, but then it does look like there's only three lefties at this point. I think at one point there were four. And then they, you know, he played against a righty this past week, but that was the day that JP Crawford was out. So like, it might just be strictly lefties, in which case you're kind of three. So he was on there because, you know, we need speed in a couple spots. So, but we ended up not getting any. But yeah, for the most part, Those schedules look good.
I'm weird that way. When there's like a Sunday game and the guy doesn't play, I tend to be like, oh, I'm a little worried about playing time. And Moore didn't play. He did come in and pinch hit, but I had him in some bids, but I pulled back a little bit just based on that. But let's get into hitters and fab. It was a week where, like you said, playing matchups. What do you guys need stolen bases anywhere? I guess is my first question. We got Jinwon Bae, who you pointed out to me was off my spreadsheet when I first, or my outline when I first sent it to you. He has a two stolen bases in his first game. I think he has a big chunk of stolen bases in the minors. He had 30 stolen bases in AAA, and then Nate Eaton in Kansas City, running crazy. Also, he had another stolen base today. Dude has 11 stolen bases and 105 plate appearances, something like that. Do you have a preference for, you know, if you need stolen bases, maybe two or three get you a point league? Were you on Eaton? Were you on Bay? Where were you guys going this week for steals?
Yeah, we had them on the, you know, same lines. I think Eaton was ahead, but you know, both of them look pretty good. I think just the fact that Eaton has done this and is playing a lot and has the third base eligibility now, it looks like he's doing, you know, pretty well, even if it's with, you know, slightly elevated BABIP. A little bit of pop there too for Eaton. So and actually for Bae as well. So I kind of like both those guys, you know. Bae's led off the last two games.
Yeah, they called him up. It was nice.
They called
after
him up,
after I realized who he was, once you told me that, mm-hmm. I realized he'd led off the last 2 days. Apparently you were not the only one who went for $19 in my main event league. So it was one of those things that I was like, maybe I'm gonna slide him through for a dollar, and not remotely close.
It's very festive. Very festive on the G1 day bidding.
You got to love when someone is just laughing. They've got about $70. You're like, yeah, I'm just not going to be. Whoever you want, you pretty much get. This same person in my Vegas main, which is the most insanely active. It's so funny. I look at that league in my other main. I'm like, oh, look at all these guys available. I look in the Vegas one. There's like no, literally nobody to bid on. It's just, it's kind of gross. But he picked up three different guys for $19, just figuring that he was going to beat us all. So it was rough there, but you know, it was a good name you brought up. I appreciated that, but yeah, I think I had Eaton a little bit ahead too, just a little more, you know, playing every day. You know, Bae's only been up for 3 days, but it's interesting when you get a couple stolen base guys this late in the year. Bae's an interesting little guy. He's got he's hit 290, eight home runs, 30 stolen bases. The more I looked after you brought him up, the more I was interested.
Yeah. He's got a good plate approach. Double-digit walk rate to the minors. You know, 108 max EV so far. A little bit of pop, you know, not too much. And it's the Reds, you know, honestly, we were talking about like the weekend, this Monday to Thursday is 33% of the remaining season. And they've got the Reds.
That's frightening when you put it that way.
The third of the season, you're playing the Reds. So I'll take it. And you know, at Pittsburgh. And then this weekend, it was not quite as good. I think it was... Yeah, St. Louis, and then St. Louis next week too, but including, I guess, one lefty. So we ended up with the Bay in a couple spots. No Eaton. He was actually some, you know, very smart person got him last week in the spot we really needed it. And then this week we kind of got outbid. And by kind of, I mean we did.
Yeah. There's no kind of getting outbid, right? It's kind of, yeah. You either get bid, outbid, or you don't. But I was in on those. I don't really need steals in too many places, but I was in on those a little bit. What about on offense otherwise? I was looking at some Giants. They have six games a week, five against lefties, and the team that platoons a ton. So, you know, some Lamont Wade in there. Jock Peterson weirdly didn't play today against a righty, so I pulled back on him a little bit. But where else were you guys on offense? Any like Carlos Santana? I assume Oswaldo Cabrera was probably already picked up in your league. But where were you guys going otherwise on offense?
I mean, I know you have a great flow in this podcast, and I hate to interrupt it, but that's just what I'm going to do.
Please do.
There was this one – we had one main event, and we kind of had – we had $10 left, and we tried to spread some of it out, you know, between there was Cabrera was available, Merrifield had gotten dropped, Eaton was available, and Bay was available. We went down to one on Bay and still got outbid there, but the other ones were at two, and we ended up with like a lot of tied bids, and sure, some of the other people could have tied us as well. But so we ended up with none of these guys that I really wanted to get at the top. So
was that pretty much you were saying you're losing all tie bids because you're so high up in the standings?
Indirectly, yeah. Yes.
That was a nice side humble brag there.
You know, that's what I'm here for. But
it's just so rough when you can't win any tie bids in any leagues.
This is my plight. But anyway, it was I don't even know what I was talking about. The no real like Giants. That whole offense seems really, I mean, they had the core series. That was great. But the whole offense seems pretty lackluster right now. We got David VR last week and then just didn't really have a lot of moves and money left to kind of really get out of it. We got a replacement. I know they have Colorado to start the week, which isn't bad. I was more interested in a couple names, like two names, Alex Call for the Nationals and Brian De La Cruz for the Marlins. Alex Call looks like, you know, he's got a pretty good plate approach as well. Was doing, you know, pretty well in the minors, kind of a 280, 25-15 pace, if you will. 109 max EV. He's got four homers so far. Usually hitting fifth, and there were some pretty positive comments from the manager there. The curious thing, and again, we go back to like the schedule, right? The first three against the Braves were pretty nice, and then Philly. Kind of curious. I didn't see too much about it, but like he did sit Tuesday and Wednesday. But he had played the previous 10 games and then he played four straight. And it wasn't like he was necessarily slumping. I think even like today, I think he finished his 6-game hit streak or something. So kind of interested to see that. But there was a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, and some good matchups. So he was a guy that was we got on a few different teams. And then Brian De La Cruz, also, he's been smoking the ball the last month, you know, 25 barrels, 11 homers, 111 max EV. And those and, you know, pretty good play skills too. 85% Z contact, 35% O swing. It's Carrasco, Walker, and Lauer to start, which isn't terrible. And then you got Burns and then Peralta, you know, who knows how deep he goes. And then Hauser on the weekend. So not great, but doable. And so those were two guys that we ended up getting a few shares of.
Anytime you could face Hauser, I feel pretty good about that. That dude literally has one strike at his last three starts total. Like I looked to pick him up because he had two starts this week, and I'm like, oh. I'm going to pick him up for two strikeouts. Yeah, not going to happen there. So I was definitely in on De La Cruz too. I mean, we're a time of year where, you know, playing time and, you know, a little bit of a hot streak is pretty much the king right now. And De La Cruz has been playing a bunch, hitting sixth every day for the Marlins, had four hits yesterday. So just, you know, he's been really hitting the ball, had two more hits today. That was definitely a guy that I was in on. Anywhere Oswaldo Cabrera was available, that was my one. I picked him up last week in my main. I picked him up a couple weeks ago in one of them, and last week in one of the other one. And I like his swing. It's one of those weird things. I watch him play, and I'm like, this dude has just a sweet swing. Mm-hmm. I liked how good he – I mean, the minor leagues, he had 29 – or he had 8 home runs and 10 stolen bases this year, and they had 24 home runs, 20 stolen bases last year in Double-A. So this is a guy that's like a real legit prospect. He hit fourth today for the Yankees. Like,
yep.
give me that every day. He's been hitting fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. Guys on base. He had a grand slam earlier this week that was like just freaking sweet. So it's second and outfield eligible too. If you happen to be in a daily league or some league that you still might pick up, he's probably my top guy this week if he was available anywhere. I mean, just anytime you get hit in the middle of that Yankees lineup, like give me that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. He was one of that grouping of guys that we tried to get in for $2 and got that bid on. And had we gone three on any one of them, we would have gotten back. We tried to kind of get multiples. So this is, again, me pouting here, late night on the West Coast. But, yeah, he looked really good and definitely a target in the
morning. Yeah, and you talk schedules. They're at Toronto. I don't mind that. And they're home against Baltimore. I like that. And then they're at Texas for four next week too. So that's it's a pretty prime setup for the Yankees. The problem is, who knows if they need the games. Like, they've already, they've clinched. They're going to win the AL East. They're going to be one of the top two seeds. So you wonder about game sitting, and it's just that's going to be anybody, though. Even the bad teams, like, they're going to be like, oh, you can sit this game. And nobody's going to play next Wednesday. Like, everybody's going to have two at-bats that come out of the game. So if you need to catch up, don't wait till last Wednesday, because it's always a tough day to catch up on.
Yep, for sure.
You're going to watch games with people next Wednesday. You're like a whole party next week, right?
Oh yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. It kind of came together pretty quickly, but I'm in LA and friends in the Bay Area. I was just like, let's come up and watch the last day of the season. So Nick is up there. He's up there for Tuesday night, and then I'm going to meet up with a few others, including Toby, Batflip Crazy, and nice. Some other friends as well. So have a good time. Watch the last day of the season.
And the nice thing is all whatever 15 games start at the same time. So it's like just a fun, chaotic, crazy day of trying to figure out what stats you need and what run or walk or strikeout's going to win or lose your league. So it's, I'm sure you guys will all be really calm and mellow during the whole thing.
Very mellow. I know it's a little far in the future, but what is your plan? How are you going to handle that day?
You want the honest answer? Or do you want like I'm a baseball fan answer? What do you?
Don't give me this. Just pretend like it's just me and you. Nobody's gonna
I'm super weird. I probably will turn off all box scores at 1 o'clock and check it at 5 o'clock.
That is insane.
Is that insane? That's rare, right?
It's totally rare. Yeah. Is it the stress of watching the games and trying to?
It's just hard. Like, I'll be in the middle of a work day too. It's like a Wednesday, so I probably won't want to be distracted. But more than anything, I just I don't really want to follow every pitch. I'll watch games this week, but it'll probably be that last day. The last day I probably, if it's close, I don't know, I'm pretty, we talked about many times in the podcast, I'm high-ish up there overall. I lost a bunch of ground this week, so I have a bunch of ground to make up to get to the top, but high up overall, yeah, it just might be a little too stressful.
I understand. I will be texting. I'll just text you instead.
Yeah, right. You're like, oh, Oswaldo Cabrera just struck out four times. That's great.
This is what happened. That'd be fun.
Let's jump into pitching, because I thought pitching was the really interesting part in Fab this week and the thing I spent most of my time on. But first, a note from our sponsors at So Rare. So Rare MLB is an NFT-based free-to-play baseball game played with officially licensed Major League Baseball cards. Sign up today at sorare.com/MLB and you'll receive 13 common cards to start your collection. Build 7 player lineups from cards in your collection and play weekly competitions with scoring based on real-life player performance. Compete for rewards with other fans around the world. For more information on gameplay or sign up, visit sorare.com/MLB. There's no better time to join So Rare than right ahead of the postseason gameplay. So, Brian, I felt I spent most of my time today as I was doing Fab looking for starters. I felt like, I needed a couple bats here and there, but for the most part, I had two or three guys on the bench, but starters were tough for me. It's like Sonny Gray was brutal. It was gonna be a 2-start week for Sonny Gray this week. I need strikeouts badly in both of my leagues. He got one strikeout, pitched one inning, got hurt. I had to sit with him there in my lineup the whole rest of the way. I had Dustin May in the Vegas main event league, so I had to replace him. So I was looking for arms. I had some Spencer Strider in the online championship, but I was looking for arms, looking for anybody that either is pitching twice this week and then I could drop them and drop somebody in their slot next week. I was looking for somebody who had a start this week and next week. I was looking for guys who definitely had two starts left. There were some players out there that start late next week and probably aren't going to start the week after. So I was kind of out on those. But I wanted to ask you about some of these pitchers this week. We've got Chase Anderson I picked up. It's going to be really gross and ugly, but he's got two starts. His last couple starts have been not horrendous, but holy hell, those are starts I'm not going to be watching. So you asked me about watching starts. I'm not going to be watching Chase Anderson starts. That's going to be too tough. James Kaprielian has two starts. Were there any, before we get into the guys who have one start, and there any, two-start pitchers this week that you guys found yourself really in on that you were trying to, I got to maximize strikeouts. I got to get some wins. Let's grab these guys with two starts no matter how terrible they are.
Honestly, not really. Across the board, our pitching has been the strength more than the hitting. So a lot of it's been hitting chasing. I mean, we spent most of the time today just on the hitting. And then everywhere where we need wins, and there's a couple spots where it's just like every win is crucial. And so you know, we had Gausman going, who do we have yesterday? Was it Rasmussen, right? Like these great performances that end up in the win. You're just like, you're cringing.
Yeah. Dylan Cease today with six shutouts and like 14 seconds later, Kendall Graveman gave up 10 runs. It was brutal.
Yeah. It just happened so quickly. You're like, oh, this is great. And then no.
Yeah. Did you guys bid on this guy in Detroit throwing twice a week, Joey Wentz at all?
Just to kind of to finish that thought, is which is never easy for me, but like I think that we have more of a focus, like ratios are still close too, and rather than like try to go with like strikeouts happen to be a little bit better, so rather than taking two of the Joey Wentz or Chase Anderson stuff like that, we kind of will probably go with some of our one start guys we already have, you know, a Miles Mikolas or like a Jack Flaherty or something.
I'd kill for those options. I was really looking for live bodies at this point. It was rough. But Joey Wentz pitched pretty well. He's made three starts since he got called back up. He's given up two runs once, zero runs twice. One of those was four innings, but the other one was 6 2/3 against the Royals. Then he had 5 2/3 against Baltimore. So pitched pretty well. He gets Kansas City to start this week in the first start. Then he's home against Minnesota. So two home starts. Detroit's a good place to pitch. I did like him. I thought he was actually picked up in one of my leagues last week. That was a great call by whoever picked him up. Yeah, that's it. A hell of a pickup a week earlier. There was actually some thoughts he was going to pitch twice last week. I think that played into a little bit, but I liked him. I picked up some Chase Anderson. I'm not super happy about it. I was able to get Ronzi Contreras in one of my mains. He got dropped and he was like 97% owned. That's strictly a strikeout play. Like I worry about wins in Pittsburgh are not going to be a good thing, but like he struck out double digit guys last start. So I'm hoping for two starts there. You know, you got a chance at like, you know, 14, 15 strikeouts, which is a pretty big chunk this late in the year.
Yeah. Wentz was the one of the two start options. He seemed the most, the matchups were great. And you could see a scenario where it works out. It's easier for me to imagine that scenario. Gives up a little bit more contact in the zone, 88% contact, but like 58% first pitch strike, 8.4% swing strike, you know, it's 4.09 Sierra. It's not great, but I mean, you're looking at matchups and that's the type of thing with two of them. It seems like he's got pretty good control, so maybe keeps the walks down and doesn't hurt you too much like that.
Chase Anderson's given up 5 hits total his last 3 starts. There's no way he doesn't give up 5 runs in the first inning.
I do you want to know his BABIP over the last 4 games or not?
It's probably like 080?
118. Yeah. 118 BABIP.
So to be fair, I looked at it. He's got Pittsburgh tomorrow. So that's, you know, you gotta like that. It may not work out, but you gotta like that. And he's got at Chicago on Sunday. So it's like, he's facing two bad offenses. He's pitching well. He's a bad pitcher. Don't get me wrong, but I'm hoping for not getting blown up and getting 8 to 10 strikeouts is kind of the goal here. Maybe if I get slide out a win out of it, that'd be a great week, but it's a risky one. I have more buffer in ratios than I do anywhere else. Mm-hmm. K's are my worst category, so I consider that a 3-start week because I'm going to throw him twice, drop him, and then pick somebody else in his spot next week. So I'm trying to max out the K's and go for it rather than playing it safe, and that may burn me. But you only get so many chances to go for it, so I am.
With breaking with the thread of the podcast, I think you picked up, was it Ryan Nelson from the Giants?
2 weeks ago,
2 weeks ago.
That was nice. The first start was nice. The second one was
But still, I mean, I think that, you know, you've been up there before. And I think just, you know, we've had some runs, you know, Nick and I've had some deeper runs. And to get in there, it's possible to be like wanting to play conservatively, right? To just like try to focus on and think about the downside of like what happens if he gets blown up by the Dodgers, right? But I think very commendable, and I loved it when I heard you talking about it even before the game happened. And the game's happening, right? And watching the Dodgers, I'm like, I was just loving it. I was like, this was a great call, just to really try and push for it. So kudos to you for that, and I hope that Chase Anderson works as well.
Yeah, I mean, it very obviously very well could not, but two starts. I consider a three start spot is how I'm playing it, and strikeouts in my most category. So, hoping to not get smoked in ratios, hoping to get some strikeouts, but it was definitely a going for it play, which I admit could burn me, and I fully admit that, and I'm public about the fact that I don't think Chase Anderson's good. I'm just hoping he's good for one more week.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you have like what kind of production value you have or like team you have behind the scenes here, but if you could cut your initial response when Jeff mentioned Chase Anderson like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sure.
Splice it in right here. Yeah, I don't know.
He's horrible. No, he's bad. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's good at all. But,
I'm gonna go find it. This is how much free time I have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, Chicago. It's rough, but it's two starts. So what about the one start guys? I really liked Braxton Garrett. We talked about him a couple months ago, and then he got hurt for Miami. But he's I actually think he's a pretty good pitcher actually, which is a little bit different. Some of you guys have talked about. He's got a 24.5% strikeout rate, a walk rate under 6, and has been very good kind of since his first bumps in the road. He had like one bad start in July against Cincy, but pretty much everything else has been 3 runs or less since the start of July. He's actually been pretty good. He came back the 23rd against Washington, 6 innings, 5 hits, one earned run, no walk, 6 strikeouts. So I actually think Garrett, among the guys that were available, I thought Garrett was the best of the pitchers.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. And Milwaukee is kind of hit and miss, and especially against lefties. I think that that's going to be a better spot. You know, I think that to me, most of those hitters are the more dangerous hitters are left-handed. So I think that, hopefully that's a good spot that works this week. And skills-wise, like you said, I think there was a lot to like.
Yeah, I do. I actually think he's a pretty good pitcher. I watched him a bunch when I had him earlier in the year, and I actually like what I saw. Talking about Michael Lorenzen in Anaheim is getting some strikeouts. Most impressive thing about Lorenzen right now is that he gets the A's in his next start, and he gets the A's again next week. Tough to be pretty happy with that. Unless you're Jacob DeGrom, you got or George Kirby. They beat some good pitchers this week. But you got to feel pretty good about 2 starts left, both against Oakland.
Yeah, we had a bid in on them, you know. You want me to talk about him?
You don't have
to. We had a bid on him. It was like, and really not for this week so much as like we talked about when everybody looks up next week and there are 3 starts that are available. And one of them is a guy at Oakland.
Yep.
Like it's going to be, this was your chance to get him. So we had a bid, we ended up not getting him. But he's looked okay. Especially
if I pull it 13 strikeouts, last 2 starts over 10 innings, only get up 6 hits in that stretch. He gives up 6 runs, but you know, I don't think you're not picking up Lorenzen for pure ratio help. It's a strikeout play, but 13 strikeouts over last 2 starts was pretty nice. The strikeout rate's not huge on the year. The walk rate's a little high. I feel like maybe he's just kind of in a nice role right now, but there's a pure matchup play for me is to grab him against 2 Oakland starts.
Yeah. I preferred him to Bryce Elder, who was a guy we looked at too. Bryce Elder, did you get any of him?
So Bryce Elder was a weird roller coaster for me today because there was a spot for like an hour where it looked like he was going to pitch twice. Mm-hmm. He wasn't announced at all. The Braves had announced the rotation because they had a rain out in their game. They had announced the name. And then Dave O'Brien, their beat writer, Dave O'Brien, said, oh, Elder's pitching Monday. And they're like, oh, maybe he's going to pitch Sunday also. But then they realized that they were lining up Fried, Morton, and Wright for the Mets series. But I liked what I saw in Elder the last couple starts. He threw well against Washington and threw well against Miami. His walks freaked me out a little bit, though.
Yeah, that's kind of where we were, too. 5 of his 8 outings have come against Miami or Washington. And, this guy is just run good. But even
he gets Washington again this tomorrow. So that's
Washington,
that's nice
and
too.
Then should line up for – the reason right. that I was Miami. Probably most interested was for him next week.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, again, I think we had some good starts this week and those will all run out. And so we'll be a little bit shorthanded next week. But even in those, this last 3, he's, you know, running a 209 BABIP, 9.3% swinging strike, 91% Z contact, 28% O swing, 55% first pitch strike. So not a lot that's like jumping off the page in terms of like this could work, but you know, you're kind of in the same thing with the matchups. But we did have Lorenzen ahead of Elder.
Yeah, I did too. And I moved him up and down and like at halftime of the football game, I came back in and moved him down because I realized he wasn't going to start twice. So it was a bit of a roller coaster with me with Elder. I did not end up getting him. I know you guys play mostly 15 teamers. In your 15 teamers, he's a guy that's available in about only 40% roster in 12ers. Kyle Bradish has been rolling lately. He had a 10 strikeout game against the Astros on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, 8 2/3, 2 hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts. He's someone who's been rolling. His last, I have to scroll down to June 18th, last time he gave up more than 3 runs in a game. I know it's Baltimore, but they're pretty good. You're decent for some wins in there. Have you guys been riding any Bradish over here the last couple of months?
No, but not because we didn't want to. Yeah. He, by the time he kind of reemerged, he had, I forget the name, and this is great when you're trying to explain something, but he had, it might have been even Houston again, but he had some start where he just went bananas, and they had, like, I think it was like a lot of, like, really throwing the slider a lot more and a change in his, like, horizontal release point, and added some velocity to it, I think, something like that.
Horizontal release point. Wow, you're really getting deep here. I like it. Yeah, it was against Houston. It was August 26th, 8 shutout innings. He owns the Astros. That is crazy.
And there was some stuff, I think he was just like talking about, he's going to like emulate Corbin Burns or something, just like trying to take a playbook, play out his playbook or something. So, yeah, I will tweet about these stats later. But yeah, I'm curious to see what's happened there. But I know I liked him, tried to get him about 3 weeks ago now and just missed the boat.
Anybody else in the starting pitching market you guys were in on? Those were kind of the guys I'm looking at. I looked at a little bit of Cody Morris in Cleveland now that he's actually pitching enough innings to qualify for wins. I think he has a good matchup this week too. He's against Tampa Bay, but then he gets Kansas City potentially next week. So he's one of those like next week guys I was looking at also. But I'm worried that they're not going to pitch him next week. I just don't know if they're even want to buy. They've already clinched the division. I assume they're maybe going to slot him in the bullpen during the playoffs. I don't know if he's going to be a starter for them. But I was a little bit worried that he wasn't going to make that second start. Kind of pulled me off of him a little bit. But he's a guy who has a lot of talent. He's finally, his last two starts, he finally got over five innings, 6-5, only one earned run each, 11 strikeouts in there. I think he's a very solid arm that's tough to hit.
Yeah. I know that Savali looked good this week, but I think that Plesac is back. I think I saw a friend.
Yeah, Plesac's pitching Friday, so I think it moved McKenzie off his scheduled two start week. But then it was going to be, now Bieber's going Tuesday, McKenzie going Wednesday, and then Plesac's coming in Friday. If they throw Morris and Quantrill, then Savali goes Sunday, which is always kind of scary when you have a Sunday one start week, and you're like, what if something gets pushed? What if it's just a rain out? Because I have Savali in one of my two mains, and he was actually pretty decent this week. He had two starts this week, so I picked him up for this one. But I was definitely going to throw him against Casey, but I'm always a little wary of that Sunday start because one rain out, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
I'm growing more nervous by the minute. But, so didn't get any Cody Morris, or he wasn't really available. The guy that I can't remember if I mentioned this, was Domingo Germán.
Okay.
He was available in a couple spots. He, looked pretty good last time out against Boston. He's kind of got a slight bit of a home run issue, but he's got Baltimore at Yankee Stadium this week and then at Texas for last week, which is, really what we were chasing. His velocity's kind of ticked up a little bit over the last, four or five starts, which I think has helped too. So he was a guy that, chasing wins, I thought that those were a couple good spots. So he was a guy, and then ended up not getting him. But it was him, and then one other one was Luis Ortiz in Pittsburgh. He looked great today.
Yeah.
15 whiffs on 80 pitches, 38% CSW. But he did get pulled after 80 pitches, which is a concern. He threw 83 the first time, and then I think I remember tweeting you, because he was the one of the first guys that dominated the Reds during the famous Red Stack week. And I was like, who is LL Ortiz? And then sure enough, I'm betting on him 2 weeks later. But
that Reds offensive week was horrible, by the way.
I still blame
him. I think they had one game where they had like six or seven runs. Everything else was four under. I know I said they were going to have four shutouts, but they scored one or fewer runs four times. So I was close, but it was a gross week for nine games. And like Luis Barrero played like three or four of the games. And I think Aquino was like the only guy who really was like one of the pickups that actually worked out.
Yep. Yeah. And we had Barrero, Friedel, Fraley, and I think I even had Don Venezolano on one team. Yeah. So it was gross. A gross 5 days.
I'm looking right now. I could be wrong, but Aquino has one hit since that week. He has Aquino has one hit since September 16th, and he's played every single game since then.
Yeah, he's a streaky guy. And then they've got Pittsburgh this week too. So
that's one for his last 32 by my quick math. That'll hurt the batting average there. That's very Josh Young like right there, who struck out about 4,000 times this week.
Yeah, we got him one spot, very cheap. I think you got him about the same price, like $5-$6. Yeah.
I could not wait for Friday to take him out of the lineup though. Like I was like on Wednesday, I was like, I need to get the guy out of the lineup now. I'm just gonna make the move because he's striking out three times every night. He just got a lot of pop, but man, he's got a ton of swing and miss to deal with right now.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. But back to Aquino, it was like he finishes. He got at Pitt, at the Cubs, home against the Cubs. Like, what are you gonna? I need to check, but it seems like I keep targeting some of these Cubs matchups and they're not quite paying off the way I thought they would. I don't know if the Cubs are, maybe I'm just throwing bad hitters. That's probably the issue. But but yeah, I kept thinking.
No, but like Samson's pitched pretty well. Stroman's pitched okay. Wesneski pitched pretty well last couple of times out. So yeah, the Cubs are actually getting a little bit of better pitching the last like 2 or 3 weeks than they had before. Wade Miley was the one exception there. He was picked up pretty big last week for the 2-start week. Did not work out well, and he got hit in both those starts, I think.
Yeah,
and left today with oblique tightness. So it was not great. I think he actually had 4 earned runs on Monday, so that helped a little bit. He gave up 7 runs to the Marlins, really 3 were earned. But I actually got outbid on Miley. I was a little bit bummed about it last week. So you know, every once in a while, things do work out a little bit, little well there. Mm-hmm. Last guy I want to ask you about, since you know we're an A's centric podcast most of the time, James Caprellian. I know your partner Nick Sack is an A's fan. Were you guys looking at him at all for the at Los Angeles Angels at Seattle two-step this week?
We did not. Can you please tell me about him and how good he is?
No, he's a guy that scares the hell out of me. But he weirdly like put stretches together. Like these last 3 starts, he's been really good. But then he gave 8 4 starts to go to the Yankees. He always freaks me out. He doesn't strike out that many guys. It was more of a 2-star. He was actually not available in either one of my mains, so I was not in on him either. But you know, as I was looking for anybody that threw twice this week, he kept popping up my list. A strikeout rate under 17%, a walk rate in double digits. It's hard to really get there with Caprellian. It was more of a been pitching well, had some hot streaks last year too, so maybe you could ride that. But I'd be worried about that. I'd throw it if I needed strikeouts or wins, but if I was protecting ratios, I think I'd try to avoid it myself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the last few games, like you said, minus that Yankee game, he's strung together some decent starts.
He has. But let's jump into relievers. But first, a note from our sponsors at the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We thank you for indulging us there. We thank Blue Wire for the partnership all year long. Relievers. I don't know if you listened at all in the preseason, but I had the praises of Domingo Acevedo as a sleeper late pick. So it only took 5.5 months, but Domingo Acevedo is now the closer for the A's. So if you held him that whole time, you can thank me for that. It's really been super valuable. But Acevedo is clearly the guy. He's got the last 4 saves for the A's. Then you got a bunch of other relievers. But most I want to ask you about the Dodgers. They took Craig Kimbrell out of the closer role. It seems like they are a committee. We've got Evan Phillips. We've got Zach Jackson got the save. Or Andre Jackson got the save today. But that was like a 3-start outing. Did you guys delve into the Dodger situation at all? Or you just kind of like, this is going to be a committee. Like, get me out of here.
Yeah, we have one standalone league. And in that league, you know, ratios are important and we need a little bit of saves, but we don't need a lot of saves. So like just two over the next week and a half would be great.
Right.
And so we end up with both Phillips and Martin.
Okay.
So, yeah. Chris, just try to.
Chris Martin is the other option in there. And you got Gratterall. You got Alex Vessi as like the lefty. But I had Phillips 1 and kind of Martin 1A in that situation. I was not really digging for saves too much. But it's one of those things. Like the Dodgers win so many games. But one guy gets one, then you get two. Like it could be, you could ride that pretty well here down the stretch. And I assume, as much as Dave Roberts wants to say they're in a committee, I assume he's finding somebody he thinks he can trust in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Because it ain't.
I mean, I think that it's interesting. You know, like you kind of felt like they were trying to get, because before they signed Kimbrel, they were talking about, you know, it looked like Trinan was going to be the guy. And then all of a sudden you started hearing these whispers about Daniel Hudson. Remember? And it was like, you kind of get the sense that they're very open to like a kind of committee approach. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's what happens next year. But Phillips, when I watch the games, like when it's like the key spot, right? That high leverage reliever, it's that wins the 3-4-5. And that could be in the seventh, it could be in the sixth, eighth. I just, even though he's the best reliever, like I kind of feel like if I had to bet money on the next save, I would go with Martin. Or even Gratterall, maybe.
It but sounds like as it comes from a place that you think they think Phillips is too valuable just slot in the ninth inning only. Like they want to use him. The dude's unbelievable. He's got a 1-2 ERA, 0.75 WHIP, 32% strikeout rate. It's crazy how good of a year Evan Phillips has had. I mean, he's been a godsend for them, and it's in a team that has very, very few holes. You know, bullpen's been a little bit of one, and Phillips has filled that really nicely.
Yeah, they're going to be. I think you know it's always. The Kimbrel train has been sliding downhill for a while, but I think that once like they're going to be formidable, like once, and I don't even know if they were ever going to go to him in the ninth in a playoff game, you know? So I think the rest of the bullpen is really good. So I think that that's probably the weakest spot, although the starting injuries are piling up. So they're going to have their work cut out for them.
Yet they still win every single night.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm kind of rooting, going back to like the first part, it was like I'm rooting for, because I'm a kind of an honorary Mets fan. You know, we have some mutual Mets friends. So them winning, correct me if I'm wrong, them winning the East would allow them, they would play the worst wild card team, which would then set them up for the middle game, and they wouldn't have to face the Dodgers, or the Dodgers wouldn't have to face them until the finals.
Yeah, so that's right. So right now...
They call them the finals, right?
The finals.
What am I doing on this podcast? I think that's a big question.
Finals works. So the way NLCS. It works, the Dodgers will be the one seed, the Mets will be the two seed. And as the Mets, the Dodgers would play the winner of the 4-5 series, which is two wild cards, because they have to lock in the Dodgers can't play a division winner. So the Mets will get the winner of Cardinals and the worst wild card team. Whereas the Dodgers will get the winner of 4-5, which the problem is that could be the Braves or the Mets. Whoever doesn't win that division is going to have 100 wins coming in there. They're going to be the four seed. They're going to have all three games at home. They're going to play against either the Brewers, the Padres, or the Phillies, and probably win that series. And we get two teams with 100 plus wins in that second round. It could be Dodgers, either Dodgers, Braves, or Dodgers, Mets, depending on how this last week goes. You know, the Braves and the Mets both are pretty likely to get to 100. You know, they could stumble a little bit, like the Braves have to go 5-4 to get to 100. The Dodgers are suddenly going to have, they're definitely going to have the harder of that series, assuming that the NL East loser gets through that series.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure there's a lot of reasons to fear the Braves. So you fear both of them, but yeah, just the idea of DeGrom, Scherzer, 1-2, you just don't want it. You just don't want any part of that.
You don't. I mean, a short series, you go DeGrom, Scherzer, and then you know, obviously you can go Bassett, who is not great, but as a three starter is you know, can compete with almost any other third starter. That's you go DeGrom, Scherzer. That's really tough. And you figure that if you're losing after about 24, 25 outs, Diaz is coming in the eighth, and you're probably done there too. They are a very well set up playoff team if they can get rolling a little bit.
Okay, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah. So you're rooting for the Mets to win all. Is that not your pick here, but that's who you're rooting for.
So I'm rooting for them to make it far, not necessarily beat the Dodgers, but to outside of the Dodgers, I'm rooting for the Mets.
Are you a Dodgers fan? How does this work?
Yeah. I like. I'm still. My loyalty is still with the A's.
I think you're safe. We're 44 and a half out. I think you're safe to like switch your loyalty.
I've watched so little baseball as it is, but I watched about an inning today. And it really hit home. You're like, there's just nothing here to even like kind of get excited about.
Oh, it's a brutal watch. And like we've talked about it before. I talked about it with Jeff. Like at least you get like the Royals, like you tune in for Bobby Witt at bats or Pascantino at bats or Sal Perez at bats. And you know, if you're a Tigers fan, you turn in for like, I don't know, Torkelson at bats or Matt Manning's pitching, or the A's have none of that. O'Neill Cruz is up right now, so I'm a Pirates fan. Let me tune in. The A's don't have an interesting guy on either side of the ball right now. Once Montas got traded. Dermis Garcia, who might hit one 490, but will likely strike out four times. But it's just weird that you had a team that, like, there's nothing fun and young. Even the Reds, like, if Lodolo or Hunter Green pitches, like, as a Reds fan, I'm watching that game. There's no – I'm not tuning in to watch J.P. Sears, I hate to say it.
No, yeah, I know. But I still have very fond memories of that team.
First time I met you was the 2012 ALDS in game five. The A's had just they won game four on a walk off, and my wife and I drove up and we found you guys in the parking lot. And about seven innings later, I was back in the parking lot because the A's were down like 8-0 to Verlander. It was great. And I drove home. It was a wonderful drive. We had a great time.
Yeah, terrible, but it's a great playoff. It's a great atmosphere.
It's a horrible stadium, but when it is full and packed for a big game, there's not many better places.
It's got that, like, you know, low, you know, it's very charm. It's got a lot of charm.
A dump, but our dump is kind of the way to look at it. And the fans are obviously, you know, they're sparse during the year. It's really sparse right now with the fact there's nobody there. But when it's rocking, it's a lot of fun. I've been there for a lot of playoff games that are really a good time. But I wish there were more. But anybody else bullpen wise? James Karinchak's pitching really well for Cleveland. If you need innings and arms, like he's, every once in a while he steals a save from Class A. Jimmy Hergett in Anaheim, they're using him all over the place. Every once in a while he gets saved, then he'll pitch the sixth, then he'll pitch the seventh. But one earned run last 16 innings has been pretty good. Rizal Iglesias in Atlanta. I know Jansen had this weird hiccup like a month ago, and since then he's been pretty good. So there's no like real path to saves. But last 13 games, no earned runs, 16 strikeouts, one walk. Like if you just like need good innings and you don't need a win or a save, you need good innings and you want a guy that's going to be available the next 9 days, like Iglesias is probably the top of my list for any kind of middle reliever right now.
Yeah. He looks good. I'll be curious to see what Atlanta does with their bullpen. I'm sure they'll use Jansen a little bit, but those, nothing really outside of that in the bullpen. I mean, we had the Hergett experience. I was like so sure that this was going to just work beautifully because he had three saves 1 week.
It seemed like it was, and all of a sudden there's like, oh, he's the two inning guy. And all of a sudden save. I was like, all right, here we go. And then we tuned in, he's pitching like with one out in the six. I was like,
yeah, that was brutal. But nothing too much. I have a little bit of Karinchak. I did take your tip. I took your actual tip about 6 months ago.
Hope it was not Domingo Acevedo.
It was Domingo Acevedo.
Nice.
Saves and holds league. Dynasty. I got to get you in this Dynasty league, Scott.
Usually I get a call mid-November asking me about Dynasty openings, and I'm like,
can't wait till the season's over. I'm trying to pop one
like,
in again.
I'm like, yeah, I don't really look at baseball again until February because I'm this year especially. I think I may burn out at the end of this year. But Acevedo's just good. Acevedo's got a whip under one. Like he's finally the guy. Should have been the guy from day one. You know, I know that they've moved guys around. Danny Jimenez was actually pretty good when he was there for a while, and then he got blown up, and then he got hurt. AJ Puck has pitched really well, but I think they like him as kind of the fireman seventh, eighth inning guy. But I think Acevedo's just really solid. I mean, the guy was really good in AAA for the A's last year. I like that. He got called up, was pretty good, got a whip under one. Like, you can be that all day, especially on a bad team. But, bad teams get saves too.
Yeah, Oakland always seems to have a guy that gets runs them off. Yeah.
Dude, people don't realize a bad team, when they win, they usually don't win 10-1. It's usually a close game that they win 6-4 or something like that. If he's available, definitely somebody to add. Jose Leclerc in Texas was another guy I saw available in a lot of 12 teamers. He seems to be the guy in Texas right now.
Yeah. And one other guy we had like a token bid on was Reyes Maranta. Wasn't happy or proud to have that on there, but he did have two saves this week. Kind of got pulled from a middle one, but looks like if he needed like desperate for saves, I think he was a guy that we were.
Yeah, he pitched like the middle of the game today, right? Is that what's happening?
Figures.
I think I pulled back on him because I saw his usage today and it was not great. I'm trying to look here. I know he pitched 2/3 of an inning. I guess it wasn't. Oh, he came in and gave up a hit to blow the save. So he came in the came in the eighth and gave up the big hit. But it was actually a good spot, though. It was like the spot with two guys on and like, here's my closer, get the last out of the night, eighth, and then pitch the ninth. And then he's,
I mean, that team, I'm sorry to interrupt, that team is going to be a force when they get rid of Kennedy, Melanson, whatever else they got going, like get like a legitimate bullpen. That's an exciting team. I like that team a lot.
It's funny. We talk about bad teams, but like Arizona, when they're hitting, like it's a fun team to watch. They got a lot of bats. You got Carroll, you got McCarthy, Kettle Marte has not had a good year, but he's still a good player. Varsho's had a good year. Mm-hmm. Christian Walker hits a home run every day and gets out three times. So he's always 1-for-4 with a home run. Josh Rojas has quietly had a good year. Alec Thomas is a good prospect. Mm-hmm. They weirdly have a pretty fun little group there.
Yeah, and some good, really good minor leaguers. Jordan Lawler, Drew Jones. Yeah, so they're going to have a really good...
You showed off your Dynasty League knowledge right there.
This is why I came on, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously Zach Gallen has had an elite year. And, they had a couple of interesting guys come up late the pitching-wise. And we talked about Ryan Nelson, who got hurt but pitched well. Dre Jameson has pitched really well for them so far this year. He was probably on some pickup list today, too. He plays pitches at the Giants over the weekend. And he's now made three starts, I think, giving up a grand total of two runs in those three starts. So he pitched well again today against the Giants, 5 1/3, 5 hits. He'd have 3 walks, but 5 strikeouts. He kind of looks the part, too. He looked the part to me, like kind of on the eye test a little more than Ryan Nelson did.
Yeah, and I think you left off Mr. 200 innings, Merrill Kelly.
I feel like I leave him off every time. I was always like, oh, Jeff, well, you know, as long as Gallon's not pitching, you're good. But Merrill Kelly has been awesome pretty much all year long. His ERA is 3.13. Like, yeah. He started out really well, had a couple hiccups, then he's been really good again. He's had a great year.
Yeah. We got whipsawed because he was lined up for two weeks ago. It was the Dodgers and then somebody else. I can't remember. Maybe the Padres. He ended up not getting that. I think that was like the first time either Nelson or Jameson started. And so the next week it was the Dodgers again. And that being this week, Dodgers and then the Giants today or yesterday, I guess it was. Yesterday. And so they're going to have him go one more time. And then I think that last day of the season. So all you Merrill Kelly fans out there, get ready.
Yeah, and news-wise on that, they've decided they're not going to pitch Madison Bumgarner again the rest of this year. So we don't have that to play our offensive guys against. He actually pitched well his last start, but they've decided they're going to give those starts to some of the young guys and let them go. So no more Mad Bum this year. If you wanted to pick him up, it's not going to work. But let's talk about some news and notes before we get out of here. We already mentioned Spencer Strider earlier. He's on the IL with the oblique, out for the regular season. Obviously, the Braves will hope that heals up and he's good for the playoffs. But I want to ask you, Spencer Strider, unbelievable. I think he's the first guy with 200 strikeouts and less than 135 innings in the history of baseball. Where is Spencer Strider's ADP land in the main event next year?
We did the early kind of premature draft.
Oh,
with
Robbie. Were you in that crazy league that drafted in July or whatever it was?
The least prepared, and I took like 2 minutes per pick. Everybody's just yelling at me, but I just like, hey, I don't know. I don't know these guys. I don't know what I'm doing here. But Ryan Bloomfield got him, I think, in the fifth. I think he was like third or fourth
there's
day.
No way he gets the fifth in the main event.
I think the tricky thing about drafting so early is like there's a lot of time, and that's just my strategy as well. Was like there's a lot of time for things to go wrong for a pitcher, you know. Right. Like whereas it feels like a hitter, like you kind of okay, there's a reasonable range. So many arms and elbows and things like that. Arms, elbows, necks. But if he's healthy coming into spring, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Late second?
Yeah. I think like 2-3 turns somewhere in there. Maybe there's someone that gets, you know, it's a little squirrely and goes middle two, but I think ADP like lands in the like 28 to 32 range somewhere in there. And
so I mean, starts with a hitter.
You start with like, you know, Trey or whoever else the top of you know, Julio, whoever the top of the offensive board is going to be. Strider at your 2-3 turn, you know, gives you a ton of strikeouts. I mean, the innings are the main concern. He's thrown 131 so far, and he threw like, if I do the math, kind of like 95 innings last year. So, you know, it's a bump up. You know, how much does that bump go up again? Like, there was a lot of talk earlier in the year they wanted to be a reliever because they want to push his innings. But, you know, I think like 160 is probably the cap next year, something like that. But hell, that could be 220 strikeouts. And the whip's under one. It's not like he walks 8.5%. So not great walk rate, but you know, gives up so few hits. The whip's under one. The ERA is 2.67. The mustache moves it up probably a half round or so because people love that. But, 38% strikeout rate in your first time through the majors is sick.
Mm-hmm. Right now, are you taking him or Kevin Gausman?
Strider.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
I kind of like Gausman a little bit, but I'm sure everybody's gonna talk about how bad. But he's been amazing as well, and he'll be kind of one of those other guys that we're were in the back there. I mean,
you know, what's funny is I every time I think of Gosman, I'm like, oh, he hasn't been that great. And then I look and like, oh, he's been pretty darn great. Like, he's been walk rate's under 4% on Gosman. It's like, he's been really good. I just feel like he had that some hiccups earlier. Maybe he didn't like live up to the contract and kind of forgot about him, but he's been solid all year. And he's in 165 innings, 3.32. The whip's a little high, but strikeout same as last year, essentially like a percent down, but it's he's backed up last year pretty much with a full repeat, maybe with a little bit of a whip bump.
Yeah. And I think that this not going to get by anybody. Cause remember Nola coming into this year, you thought, oh, Nola's going to be in the fourth or fifth round. You know, if we were having this conversation last year, we'd be like, oh, Nola will be in the fourth or fifth. Yeah. And he was in the early third. Right. You know?
His BAB is 364.
Damn. Gosman. Yeah.
Yeah. With a 3.32 ERA, like that could have been really elite. Yeah. I think I still go Strider, but you're right. That's it's closer than I thought when I made the first snap call.
He's pretty good. So anyway, but yeah, Strider's been awesome, fun to watch. I didn't get any in Fab. Just, you know, a little bit one of those things where you have your week to week, and you're kind of focused on this week, and sometimes lose sight of like, hey, let's get a little lottery ticket here and hope that the skills work out. And so. Yeah. They
slow played it. We're like, oh, he's gonna be in the bullpen. I'm like, oh, I just can't do that for a month. And then all of a sudden, he was in the bullpen, out of the bullpen. He was starting. I have him in the online championship, one of my teams that was doing well and it's kind of fallen apart lately. John Posma's kind of taught me how to finish in September here. He's put a clinic on and he's got a lead now on me. I saw him in Vegas a couple weeks ago for when I was drafting football, and we were laughing about that league because we've been like literally like each of us had like high 90s points and nobody else was close. And he's about 3 points ahead of me now, and he's been really good down the stretch. But speaking of guys who'll be drafted high next year, Julio Rodriguez went in the IL with a lower back strain, had the back issues, came back, looked okay. Then he was in the outfield in Oakland, and you can see he felt it again. Possibly with the way the math works, he could return for the final series. I imagine it'll be if the Mariners need those games. If they don't, I assume they take as long as they can with him to get ready for the playoffs. If they need those games, then that becomes a little bit tougher. They are currently 4 games ahead of the Orioles for the sixth spot, half game behind the Rays. I assume that they don't really care about seeding. They care more about getting in. I assume if the Baltimore gets in the 1 or 2, Julio play. But if not, I think they'll sit him for the rest of the way.
Yeah. If you had him, would you have dropped him this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm aggressive with drops, though, sometimes to my detriment. But anybody injured in, like, the last month, I tend to just kind of drop with the thought that I dropped Gonsolin a week earlier than most people did. There was a couple of people. I dropped Montas kind of right away when he got hurt. I know there's so many things that happened. Like, I just didn't want to hold a roster spot for someone that'd be just the last weekend. Is Julio like ADP's like 3 next year or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that I don't even know. I would take him over Judge. I know that might be questionable, but then like Trey Turner, I know, you know, Acuna might. What do you think? Acuna's like middle of the first or something. That's something I would be a fan of.
Yeah, I think we kind of have to toss this whole year out. Coming back, and then he's never been fully healthy, and still had all the stolen bases. The power's not been there, but I can't see him getting out of the top 10.
Yeah, and I mean those are guys that I would be very excited about. J Ram again, and you know Judge. I guess we'll see where he lands.
Speaking of guys who are going to be literally impossible to slot into ADP and figure out where you want to mix it, Luis Robert is out for the season. He went in the aisle with a wrist strain. It's been a nightmare of a year for Robert. 12 home runs, 11 stolen bases. He still hit 284. You know, barrel rate down about 4%. K rate's under 20%. Still obviously a stud, but only played 98 games. He was a back half of the first round guy this year. Is he a back half of the second round guy next year? What do you think about our friend Luis?
Yeah, he went in the later part of the second in that draft I was telling you about. And I probably won't. I need to, because I have him on one team, I think there's a lot of that personal bias. Like legit, like completely seriously, I would need to kind of step back, cleanse it, and then like, okay, what is the real upside? Because right now, like all I can see is just like more missed games and alerts on my phone that says he's not playing.
And he's been frustrating too. It's not like he's just like out for 2 months. Like it's been every period is like, well, he might play this week, and you don't want to leave him out because then he hits 2 home runs, and you're like, geez, and he's your first round pick, and he's been so day to day, it's just been impossible to deal with.
Yeah. So right now, I think there are other guys that I can talk myself into. You know, a lot of times. This is actually one thing I was thinking about with the chance to talk to you is like, you know, some of the teams that we've had this year are kind of doing okay in the leagues, you know. But I mean, it was a pretty pitching heavy approach. And I know you went pretty hitting heavy.
Yeah.
Do you think that is that something to do with like the expanding field? Like, do you think you increase your likelihood for a ceiling? Is that just like an old habit? That just the way you feel comfortable? Or this year you specifically like some pitchers in the middle ranges?
It was tough because I didn't love a lot of the second round pitchers, and then I picked first in Vegas, and I was like, well, I'm gonna take Trey Turner, and then I just like the hitters that were 2-3. And it was funny, I mentioned I was talking to Paul Sporer earlier this morning, just we were talking about standings and stuff, and he said he brought up my team on one of his live streams or something. Because I took Judge in the fourth, it was just, he fell deep, and it was the point where I was probably gonna take two pitchers at 4-5, but Judge fell, and I'm like, you know what, I got to deal with what the draft gave me. If I knew that, I would have taken a pitcher at 2-3, and my team would probably be a lot better than it is. But I just like the hitters early this year. I like the pitchers in the middle. I felt like the pitchers at 2-3 were not guys that I wanted to use a second round pick on. I liked them but didn't love them, and it's just kind of the way it worked out. One of my teams, it worked out great. I got Dylan Cease in the fifth round. I ended up with Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, Tyler Malley didn't work out very well, but then I drafted Kyle Wright and Tony Gonsolin late. So it's like, anytime you do that, like, you can be like, oh, I just wait on pitching, but like, you're never gonna get that again. You're not gonna get the two NL wins leaders in the 20s ever again. So you can't fall back on that. And sometimes people do the oh, I grabbed Daniel Bard in the 24th round, so I don't need to draft closers early ever, because I just drafted, like, it's not, you just can't count on draft falling into that guy. As good as you are, or as much as you may research, you're not going to fall into the guy with 20 wins in the 28th round ever again. Like, I'm not going to get Kyle Wright on a team ever again in the 28th round. I realize that. So I treat every year differently. I think I got a little bit fortunate going heavy offense here with the dead ball. I think, you know, the guys I had early didn't get affected by it as much as those kind of mid-range hitters that home runs are way down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a stud hitter, you have Yordan and Teoscar and Aaron Judge, like, it's just, the dead balls don't affect them because they hit anyway. Whereas a lot of these mid-range guys really got affected. Home runs are way down. And you notice that, you look at some of these 2019 numbers, you look at guys, you're like, oh, well, that's where Gleyber Torres hit 38 home runs. That's where, it's just the mid-range guys just benefit so much more from that. I think I just kind of, and I didn't know that was going to be the case, but I liked hitters early, and I probably got a little fortunate that it turned out to be kind of a dead ball year, where maybe, you know, grabbing pitchers a little bit later was a little bit easier, although pitching got tough in the summer. But early on, like, you could pick up anybody and they were throwing gems. So it was a plan, but it was one that, you know, I planned based on where I was, where I liked in the draft, rather than – and then I think I got a little fortunate with the way the ball worked out.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah.
Did I answer your question like 10 times longer, 10 times longer than you wanted me to?
No, it skirted the issue. There was no red, like, I wanted that by taking starters that you kind of – the question would be, do I feel like it's more likely – yeah, you just said you can't draft Kyle Wright again or Tony Gonsolin. I've seen you do that before 3 years ago, and so don't pretend like you can't do it again.
Hard to count on that, though.
Yeah, it's hard to count on it. But are you more likely? Do you feel like you're more able to do that, or that the general population should be, and that therefore, like, the hitting approach felt better? Or was it just like, hey, kind of like the way the specific players kind of fell, and then you kind of maybe, like you said, with the ball being the way it did, kind of just happened to be a nice add-on to that?
I feel like I pick pitching better in the middle rounds than I do hitting. So I tend to go with like my strength there. It doesn't always work out. Obviously I have a league, the Vegas Men, like, my pitching's terrible. So I can't really, I took Trevor Rogers in the fifth round. I took, Taylor Rogers in the seventh round. At least he worked for a little bit, but it just one of those leagues where it didn't work. I didn't get the Kyle Wright and Tony Gonsolin. I took Elysio Hernandez, Rich Hill, I took late in that league, but I got Carrasco. I got Joe Ryan. Rich Hill's terrible. but like Marcus Stroman, the problem is I got guys that didn't strike out guys enough. You're going to wait. You've got to make sure you get strikeout guys. And I did that in my other league. I got Cease. I got Malley. I got Gray. I got Joe Ryan, like all guys that have been really good, but you know, obviously Cease fell a little bit. That was really fortunate. If you're going to do it, you're going to wait. You have to hope that guys get to you more than anything. And it's just, you got to have your pockets lined up. And I'm one who tends to draft very like what the draft gives me. And I'm very like not coming in with a plan of this and who I'm taking the first, second, third. Like, I feel like I know the player pool well enough and I study enough that I can kind of adapt, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
And I like it. Yeah. You always,
And it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that draft, because in the seventh round in my main event online, that's doing pretty well. I was so pissed. Julio Rodriguez lasted forever, and he went to pick before me in the seventh round. It was one of those like, I can't believe he got this far. I don't even want to look at the board right now. And you hear the noise, and you're like, oh, shit. You know, there he goes. But I took Jose Altuve next, and is not that far off. Like, he has one less home run, like five less steals, and he's hitting 297 and has 95 runs scored. I know the RBIs aren't even close, but like for a consolation prize, I was looking at it's quietly 26-18. The stolen bases came back this year. He hadn't stolen over 17 bags since 2017. The 18 this year were huge for him.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. That was nice. And then Abreu has been good in the eighth.
And you just not, I mean, yes, he's been fine. He's been solid. You wish that he had more than, you wish he had more than 15 home runs though. Like it's just, a guy right there that hits the middle of the lineup is 1573, 84 runs. Yeah, he's 15 home runs.
Wow.
Yeah, he was 31-17 last year. If you give me that, like we'd be set right now. But he's also hitting 304 in a ton of 650 plate appearances. He's played almost, I think he's played 150 games. He's played almost every game all year. So there's a lot of value just him being in that lineup, just kind of, you know, racking up categories. But yeah, if he had 25 home runs instead of 15, we'd probably be, we'd probably have more of a party right now. That's for sure.
And Paul Sewald, do you still got Paul Sewald on this team?
I do. He's every time I want to drop Sewald, he gets like three saves in a week, so I can't drop him. I've tried to drop him earlier in the year, then I kept him. He had three saves in a week. Then I was like, I'm tired of him. He lit a couple times. They had three saves in a week, so I was like, I'm just going to hold on. He had a win yesterday, which was huge. He had a two-inning. They use him in different ways. Every time I want to, I've thought about dropping him, he's gotten a save that week, and I'm like, oh, maybe they're going to use him. It ends up with five wins, 19 saves. ERAs are whips 0.75. Like, I know it's 60 innings, but that still helps the ratios right there.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It was a really good real-world pitcher.
Yeah. It took a long time for him to get into that save role. And I remember you talking about before.
I'm not kidding. I almost dropped him a couple times.
We dropped him on one team where his velocity was kind of going down. He'd given up a couple home runs like late in the games, and he hadn't quite gotten those save chances yet. And then pretty much the next week, a couple saves, and it's like, oh, here we go.
I think he pitched in like the fifth or the sixth or this week, and I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And then he pitches the seventh and eighth last night and pitches really well and gets the win. So yeah, I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to use him this week. I haven't looked at this week. I need to really max out strikeouts if I can. And the problem is my second worst category is saves. It's a hard combo to have. You're like, oh, I just want to throw nine starters, but you can't really do that needing some saves. So, and the Astros play five games this week. I have Ryan Pressly, so that's not really a great time with that. I think they play five, right? Do they play five?
Yeah, they play five.
They play five. So that's not ideal right there. But to other news and notes, Dustin May went on the aisle with lower back tightness. Wild. That was like 6 weeks ago. That was like, if you have money left and you need pitching, like Dustin May is going to save your season. Had that great start before he was eligible in Fab, and then has not been good since. I have him in my Vegas main. I used almost all my money because I'm like, I need pitching. Here it comes. I'm gonna dominate now. And it's been a negative for sure.
Yeah, we did not. We were not. There were very festive bids, and we were not really anywhere close to it. But not by, you know, not because we didn't want to be. We just financially weren't there. And it's kind of an interesting lesson, you know. You got like a few starts, and if one of those starts, even just one, goes, I mean, he's obviously looking like a very poor return on investment, but even just two bad starts, and you're like, oh man, it's tough when you save your money for that late. You know, that's kind of one of the thinkings about, you know, trying to get it early.
It's like, I think it's another lesson on coming back from serious arm injuries. Like, it's inconsistent, I guess is the best word for it. You know, he's going to have good starts, he's going to have starts where he doesn't feel it. But that first start against Miami, five innings, one hit, nine strikeouts. I was like, it's easy here. And then six, since then, you know, 1-6-3-0-5 has just been very up and down. Kind of what you'd expect from stepping back a guy who's off a year not pitching. So it's a good lesson there. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm using him in like, if he can come back for the playoffs, I like using him in like two inning stints where you can just gas it out rather than him starting.
For sure.
DJ LeMahieu in New York, uncertain where he can return this season. This toe injury is really lingering. I dropped him in a league. I think it's just too much to deal with 10 days left. Did you guys pick up any Nick Castellanos? He was available. He's expected to return for the Cubs series for the Phillies, which is the first half of the week. No exact date yet, but it sounds like he's going to play, you know, at least the last two series of the year for the Phillies.
We had a bid in. It was below Suarez, right? And we needed Ribby. So either position would have been fine, but I did prefer Suarez. I felt like it was a better, just based on Suarez's comments and the team's comments, a little bit better. There were some comments about Castellanos is like, might not be quite 100%, but he doesn't need to be. And then I think the manager said something like, well, it doesn't mean he won't have a game or two off here and there.
Yeah.
Which
is great when you have nine left. Like if you sit four, you're pretty much dead. But hasn't been good this year either. I mean, Suarez has 31 home runs. Castellanos has 13. Hard hit rates down 12%, barrel rates down 4%. He's been a different guy. So there's also there's not only the, you know, how many games he's played left, but there's also the performance aspect of it. He hasn't been very good this year either.
That's true, but I love him.
I do too. I've loved him for a lot of years.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved him for a lot of years. This year's been a disappointment, though. Ronald Acuna Jr., we talked about him earlier, kind of talking about the first round. He was out today. He's missed four straight games with back tightness. This is like literally a you check the lineups every day, and if he's in, you play him. If he's not, you don't. He's been a guy that has not been anywhere near as Robert frustrating, but has been a little frustrating here the last month or so.
Yeah, for sure. You think he would DH when he comes back?
I would think so. I would. I certainly would not risk him in the field if I were them. Mm-hmm. But they play at Washington the first half of the week. I think if he's in Monday, you obviously play him. If he's not Monday, I think you sit him, because that's only 2 weeks. They don't play on Thursday. I think I'm waiting for the Mets series, and maybe the Braves are waiting for the Mets series too.
Yeah.
For sure. Tyler Glass now, our old friend, starting on a Wednesday. Sounds like he's gonna be only 45 pitches. I couldn't do it with 45 pitches, but it'd be fun to see him back on the mound.
Yeah, I'm sure. Knowing me, we'll have some bids next week for a dollar.
Yeah, that's true. No,
I'm just alerting my competition right now. Yeah. I'm going to have a dollar bid, so if you want him, you can bid too.
He's going to be at Fenway next Monday, maybe up to like 60 pitches. That'd be probably workable. Chris Bryant's fishy out for the season. Does anyone care about that?
I don't think so.
Brandon Lau, done for the season also. Dane Dunning was going to be a bid. He was going to be a two-star pitcher. He's had season-ending hip surgery. Shane Baz in Tampa Bay also having Tommy John, done for 2023. So Brian might be a drop in your dynasty league.
Terrible. I wish you would have told me to drop him in redraft leagues about midway through the season, because they carried him for the three times. Somebody dropped him because they got news that he was on the 60-day AL. So of course we just, super savvy, we picked him up and carried him for another month and a half, and then got two starts and then dropped him back. So
yeah, it's too bad, because when he pitches, he's pretty darn fun. And he's only 27 innings this year, like 70 innings total last year, something. I guess about 100 innings last year when taking double A, but coming off 27 innings, then missing a year, we're looking at a lot of years before he's fantasy notable again.
Yeah, I hope he returns and is good.
Last couple of guys I want to ask you about before we jump out of here, and again, I appreciate you taking the time to jump on with us. It's always fun to chat with you. But Byron Buxton is a guy that is always talked about a ton in the offseason. It's like, well, he's always hurt, but this is going to be the year, and people push him up to the second, third, fourth round, whatever it may be. Another year where he's ending his season early. He's having season-ending surgery on Tuesday. He had 28 home runs this year in 92 games. Like the home runs were insane, but he hit .224. Strikeouts were back up to 30%, whereas he dropped those last few years. 50% hard hit rate, 16.5% barrel. So he's become a guy that mashes, but maybe a lot of swing and miss. He's changed his game. He doesn't run as much. You're probably looking at if he ever played a full year, more of a 15 stolen base guy than a 30 stolen base guy. Is he someone that you guys end up drafting? Or are you looking at him? Where do you think he ends up next year? What are you guys doing with Byron Buxton as we go into 2023?
I am going to ask you to give me a price, and I'll tell you where. But I have not had Buxton. I got him in 1DC. Thankfully, he went super high in the main events in Vegas, and then right after that, which was good, because I had obviously had Nick in my ear. It was not a battle I was really enjoying fighting. But
is Nick a Buxton guy?
Yeah, because it's okay. So easy to dream on, like, it is. And it, at least now I would have, if having that same conversation, I'd be able to point like to the skills degradation, right? Like, because there were, I could understand the argument, which is like, all he needs to do is stay healthy and continue this progression.
He hits 45 home runs if he does. Like, it's a monster season with 10 to 12 stolen bases. But yeah, if he can strike out 30% of the time and just go for home runs, then he's, he's not Miguel Sano, but he's not a pure five tool guy either. It's tough. And just the way he plays, I mean, he's such a great center fielder, but he runs into walls. He hasn't played more than 100 games since 2017.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. The one thing that I've kind of been, I'm really focusing on the leagues and trying to finish this year off before really turning to.
You don't want to start drafting for 2023 right now?
No.
I actually don't either. I won't. When do you start doing draft champions leagues? You like to start pretty early, don't you?
I usually start pretty early, but this year I'm going to take a little time.
What's early though?
Collect my breath. Late November. November.
Yeah, see, that's amazing.
Just get your.
But you don't play other sports though, right?
No, that's right. Yeah, you told me about the football. I was like, I can't even. My brother-in-law showed me like his first round of his draft, and I was like, I don't know half these names. I think that I don't really want to think too much about next year. But looking at Judge, and I don't want to like change my fantasy baseball approach based on like what one guy has done this year. But like, I have to admit, like, you know, I probably draft a little safer, you know, in the first five rounds. I mean, it's paid. It's, I think we've found that has been pretty beneficial. But at the same time, you kind of wonder if with 705 teams, right? Like, I wonder if you kind of have to open the playbook a little bit more, you know, and say, hey, you know, is there a spot for this? And can we work this? And having some faith that you can fix those things if it goes poorly and fix it in Fab. Because, I mean, otherwise you end up with too many guys that have a very narrow range. You know, you're kind of Andrew Benintendi's, who this year, you know, obviously the ball did not help. But I know you love Andrew Benintendi. Always have.
Love him. Always on my buy list.
Yeah. But, you know, him, there's like a lot, you know, still there. You can't really chalk that. It's like a lot, you know, some injuries. But a lot of those guys, Abascal Garcia, just these guys in the middle rounds that were supposed to put up pretty bankable, if unspectacular, numbers. And then, yeah, I wonder if that's kind of contributed to our overall, like, offensive lagging. Yeah.
John Rubright in the chat mentioned, I had Bucks this year, for me, never again. I wonder if we're going to get some of that. Like, I feel like we always get like the, oh, I'm never do Bucks again. Then in March, people are back in. I wonder if at some point we get to the point where like people are like, he's just never going to play a full set of games. And then he probably finally will at that point. But I wonder if maybe you get some Bucks and fatigue this year for the first time.
I'm going to guess so. But didn't people do that with Stanton though? Didn't people like finally sour on Stanton? Like even this year, wasn't Stanton like the eighth round?
Yeah, and then he hit 59 home runs in Miami, and then everybody got back in. Then everybody soured again, and it's just it's tough. I'm a big believer that I want a little bit of safe and a little bit of upside risk, and I don't want too much of either. I think that there have been times where I've gone a little too safe, and I have adjusted that recently. Like, I don't think 3 years ago I would have drafted Bobby Witt as early as I did this year, just because I'm like, he's a rookie. You know, what are we gonna do? I'll just take, you know, safe player B. But I'm still, you know, those first couple rounds, I want guys I know I'm going to get something from. So I'm not one that's going to push up rookies too much, but I adapted a little bit. I think it's helped me. It's a hard balance to find, but I think it needs to be a balance rather than, there have been years where I'm like, oh, well, the old boring guy is his value and he makes sense. But you just like, you kind of end up at a team that, you know, finishes with 8.89 points every category. And you're good, but you're not great. And so finding that balance is hard, but I think it's very important to find it. And I've tried to get out of the comfort zone, old boring guy, a little bit without going crazy on it.
I like that. The Bobby Witt picks kind of surprised me. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's been a really good year, but it feels like it's a little bit up and down. Like, there's times where he slumps, there's times where he gets really hot, but then you look right now and he's 20 home runs, 28 stolen bases, only hit 255, but it's weird. His hard hit rate's not that huge. His barrel rate's not that huge. He's only 20 home runs, but I mean, he's just did everything across the board. He's got 79 runs, 78 RBIs. He got up to 80 on both. He had two runs, two RBIs today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go 160 runs in RBIs, you go 20, 30, like, that's going to work anywhere you pick him.
Yeah. He went at the 1-2 turn in that early draft.
Did he really?
Yeah.
You're talking, I think you meant your early main this year.
Premature
draft. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's, I imagine that's probably the spot he's going to go. I mean, you consider he goes 20-30 his first year, like, you know, people are just going to see that upside. And yeah, I bet you that's about the right price for him. Where did Mookie Betts go?
Eight, ahead of Soto. Maybe nine. Maybe it went Tucker. I want to say it's Tucker Betts, Soto, 8, 9, 10.
Mookie Betts has quietly been horrible the last month or so.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. I have, we have Bryce Harper, and I was going to do like a little side by side. Ever since he's come back, he is not.
Has it been bad? I don't have him anywhere. So yeah. He homered yesterday or today or something. But I think Betts, if I'm doing the math right, is 17 for his last 87. With three home. I mean, it's been an awesome year, and he's certainly paid off the draft price. But quietly, he's under 270 right now. But 81 runs, he's got, or 112 runs. He's way up there in runs. 81 RBIs. 12 stone base, 3rd round. He's obviously been an awesome player all year, but this last month has been really, really rough. He's just, I don't know. I imagine the Dodgers give him like 4 days off coming up the next 9 days. I bet you he gets a lot of time off. He's going to be a tough, you can't really sit him, but like if he's sitting the first game, I might think about it, but I don't think I could do it. But I think he sits probably 4 of the next 9 games, if I had to guess.
Yeah, get him ready. Yeah, Bryce Harper, since he came back, 91 at bats, 209, 3 homers, 12 ribbies, 12 runs.
Yeah, so at least he's got a little bit of counting stats in there. But yeah, the 209 from your best player is It's tough, and you wonder, you know, he obviously, you wonder if he came back a little too early, he's a little bit rusty, but I don't, I think with these studs, you just kind of have to hope these last 9 days that they run into a couple and get hot. I don't think I'm gonna, I don't think I'm gonna entertain Bet. I may think about Betts the last week. If he doesn't play the first game, I'm pretty sure he won't play the third game, so I'm not gonna play him for one game. So he's someone that I'll probably have to have a backup for just in case he sits that Monday.
Next week, yeah, maybe, maybe Alex Call, maybe Alex Call is on the waiver wire. You can grab him next week.
Your boy Alex Call, you really like that guy. Yeah, apparently Nelson Cruz is never going to play again. So Alex Call is every time I look up in the box score when I'm looking up Joey Manessa's home runs, I always see Alex Call in there too. So it's I like that one.
I mean, he was DFA'd by Cleveland, I think. It's a good sign.
Yeah, it's never. never a great thing. Since we're talking about guys who've struggled lately, Matt Olson has been brutal the last month. These last 30 days, hit 143 with one home run. Like, that's why you assume with Matt Olson, you might get some weird slump months with some bad batting. You really figure the power at least going to be there. He's got like a 30% strikeout rate in the last month too, which like his big calling card last year was he went from 31.5% to 17% in the huge year with the A's. He went from 195 in 2020 to 271, kind of back to his 2019 days, but dropped the strikeout rate so much. He's back up to 24.5% this year, which is a range you can work with, but I'm a little concerned just how bad it's been like the last 6 weeks.
Yep. Maybe that's a less. I mean, I think we've just the last two guys we talked about between Olson and Buxton, guys that saw a pretty dramatic decrease in their strikeout rate, kind of bounced back a little bit.
Yeah, you kind of feel maybe that's going to bump up a little bit, but it's kind of where that lands. So I think it probably. I think when you think of Olson, you got to think of him as a 25% strikeout rate guy, not a 17% strikeout rate. I think if you kind of do your evaluation with that in mind, I think you probably end up where you need to be.
I mean, the overall power looks like it's still there in terms of barrel rate and max EV.
I mean, he's 50% hard hit right now. Barrel rate, same as was last year, over 12%. It's just that when you strike out, you know, 7-8% more, you know, that batting average goes down. His BABIP is BABIP's the same as last year. It's 270. Last year was 269. Mm-hmm. It's just strictly that strikeout rate. He's walking about 3% less. I think he's pressing right now too. They're starting to have some rumblings in Atlanta every time he comes up. He sat a game this week for a mental health day, and he was like, "Yeah, you never want to take a mental health day, but God, I need one." So it's he's clearly feeling it. Hopefully, he breaks out in the playoffs. I really like Matt Olson as a dude.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that you want to talk about? Anybody else on your mind? Anybody else you prepared to chat about that I haven't brought up? Anybody else that's on your mind before we jump out of here?
I think we're good. We left off with Ezekiel Tovar. I didn't really get in on him, but I had him on the list, had him below Bay, but a guy that, like the match, like it's intriguing. Power, speed, but they're out of cores. And honestly, we need kind of everything offensively, but the two main spots were ribbies in the two teams we're really concerned about. And it's just like that offense. Outside of course, like the entire offense, it's just so putrid that I'd rather take a couple of their spots with guys that I feel are a little bit better.
He's a top 25 overall prospect. So it's a really good thing. He was 13-17 in Double A and then had a quick stint at Triple A with 5 games. But yeah, I looked at him too. I didn't really need shortstops anywhere. I kind of wanted some multi-position guys where I needed some middles and corners. So I went there, but I had him on a list, but it was kind of a little bit down. I just didn't know what fully we're going to get. I figured I'd play him every day, but you know, if they'd been in cores, obviously I think the intention would have been ramped up on him, but they don't have another home game for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, and the Dodgers, they finished with the Dodgers
for six. They finished sixth with the Dodgers?
Sixth with the Dodgers, all in L.A. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
That's a wild series. They're in L.A. for an entire week. That I guess they were start of the season. We're supposed to start with them, and they got kicked down to the bottom at the end of the year. So that is a schedule, a strange schedule there. And the three at San Diego, too. Like, it just doesn't – it look great. They get Snell, Musgrove. You get Manaea, so that's probably four hits right there at least. But then then you go Kershaw, you got Anderson in there, you got Gonsolin, maybe you got Urias, you got Heaney. Like that's just it's a tough 9 games of pitching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that was it, man.
Who's the guy you need to have a 10 RBI week this week? Who are you looking for? Like this is gonna be the guy that's gonna win me a league this week.
You can pick one of anyone. Let's go. Edward Olivares would be great.
Oh, I like Edward. Yeah.
You know, Alex Call. We Brian Reynolds has been really hot lately. Let's keep the party going. And then give me one more second here. You know, I'd be up for some more like a little Paul Goldschmidt resurgence. The last few weeks has been a little bit cold. Let's get it going again.
Yeah, the Triple Crown talk has died down a little bit as Schwarber hit some home runs and got a little distance there. I'd like about a 15 strikeout Ronzi Contreras week would be nice, and Chase Anderson not to completely implode.
I think we can agree that if that goes well, you'll be in a very good mood.
Yeah, tomorrow will be an important day for some pitchers. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by So Rare. We do always appreciate everybody tuning in. Anybody that's watching live, we appreciate that. Anybody who's listening to us in the audio version on Monday morning, we also appreciate that. I want to thank Brian Slack for jumping on. Always a fun time when you join. I appreciate you filling in for Jeff, who's out of town. Any last thoughts you have for the public out there before we get out of here?
I think they had enough of me. Thanks so much, man. Really, really a pleasure. Always love this little late season tradition.
Yeah, it's fun.
A lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks everybody for listening. Jeff and I will be back at you next Sunday for the final half week of the season. I think it'll be our last one. Although if things go really well, maybe we'll do a late season end podcast to chat on teams, but we'll see how it goes. But so maybe we'll do a little playoff preview. Last year, the playoffs were really good for us. I predicted well and did well in the playoff contest. So maybe we'll do a playoff podcast at the end after the 3-day week. But see how it goes. I hope everybody has a really good week. Hope everybody moves up the standings, win some leagues this week. Good luck with everything. Back at you next Sunday. Take care.